The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Hallelujah! A survivor should be saying hallelujah in this house. A family of a survivor should be saying thank you, Lord. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. I was wondering how long that knee was going to keep Sister Miller down. She was hopping on one knee. Come on, somebody. She said, I'm going to put a praise on that thing. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. I'm one of them kind of people. Amen. Listen, listen, listen. When you can't come to church, you want to be here. But when you are able-bodied enough to get here, amen, that's a blessing. Listen. Whew, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I got a phone call from Prince Johnson. And first of all, he's asking the prayers of the churches because he's got an upcoming report. He's got to get his report back about his results, but he said something to me, amen. He said, Pastor King, as much as I've been coming and I know what I was like when I got there, you know, I probably didn't know the Lord like I know him now. He said, but you've been talking about some things. He said, but now it's not just you talking. He said, there's some stuff that I know for myself. Come on, somebody. He said, there's just some stuff that I know for myself, that it was God all along, that it's God right now, and it's God that's going to keep me in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on thee. He says, I thank you, Lord. And while he wanted prayer from me, I was getting encouraged from him. He said, now I know that I know that I know. Amen. To God be the glory and to God be the praise. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus on this day, celebration of life. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so many reasons to say thank you. Father God, we cannot thank you enough for everything that you've done and everything that you continue to do and even those things that you yet shall do in, with, and through our lives. Father God, we love you today. We extol you and we magnify your holy, your precious, and your righteous name. But Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And we thank you for that love, for that awesome sacrifice that you made through your son Jesus when he went to the cross for all of our sins. Suffered, bled, and died. But Father God, even when they buried him, he got up with all power in his hand on the third day. And so it's with that power that we stand right now. And because he got up, we too are able to get up. So we thank you. Now, Lord, we need to hear a word from you. I'm grateful, Lord, as I stand today to be used as your vessel. To be used as your voice, that you will be ever so pleased. Stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, that God hide me that you would be seen, and silence me that you would be heard. You said that my sheep know my voice and they follow me, and we want to be followers of Christ. Now, Lord, give me clarity of thought and speech. We all decrease, that you would increase in this house. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory that is due unto your name. This is our prayer, and it is truly in Jesus' name. And for Christ's sake that we pray, together we say, amen. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you would please do so. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, 34 through 40. It's from whence the passage will come. Matthew chapter 22, 34 through 40. This morning I've chosen to read from the New Living Translation, the New Living Translation. And for anybody who wonders sometimes why we read from so many different translations, it's really just a matter of us getting some perspective and some understanding. But I declare I'm in the Word of God. There's some very strict King James Version readers. There's some very strict New King James Version readers. But I want to reassure you that when I have to study, I use those translations. You can't do word study with some of these other translations. And so but the greatest teacher of all is the Holy Spirit. I'm standing here under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Matthew 22, 34 through 40, the New Living Translation. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Now I had this title before I went to the play on yesterday. But when I sat in that play on yesterday, I thought about this title and I said, Lord, help me on tomorrow. Now, I would tell you to turn to your neighbor, but I don't want you to offend nobody, so I'm just going to talk to you. Amen. So on today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, don't act like a Christian, just be one. Huh? Come on, somebody. Now, I don't want you to tell your neighbor that they might be offended, so I'm talking to you. Don't just act like a Christian, just be one. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen. Amen. Don't act like a Christian. Just be one. Now, I'm going to fix that thing in a minute because some of y'all want to understand what I'm talking about. But let me ask you a question. And don't please, ma'am, and please, sir, do not raise your hand. But do you ever feel like that you are just going through the motions of being a Christian? Don't raise your hand. Listen. Being a Christian isn't like wearing a winter coat. One minute we put it on when we're cold, and then the next minute we take it off and we store it away until the next round of harsh weather comes along. Yet, my brothers and my sisters, that's how a whole lot of people who attend church Sunday after Sunday, that's how they act. We pull out our church clothes, our church faces, and we act differently on Sunday than we do the other 6 days of the week. But you see, acting like a Christian is worlds away from what it really means to be a Christian. See, if we simply imitate Christ's external behaviors, you know, WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, we know what Jesus would do. He would be kind. He would be compassionate. He would be merciful, etc. But if we only imitate those things, Miller, without strengthening our spiritual core, then we risk missing out on the very process of what makes us Christ-like. Then what happens is, hear me today, is we end up acting like a Christian sometimes, but not truly being a Christian at all times. Amen. So you have to ask yourself the question, how do we make the change from acting like a Christian sometimes to being a Christian at all times? Well, we got to begin with the text. We got to begin with the first commandment. Amen. The first commandment here that Jesus said, we got to go back to our first true love of the Almighty God. Verse 37 says, you must, amen, that's a command. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. In other words, that means that we're going to have to do some refocusing. Amen. We're coming up on 2020. Amen. And when you go to the doctor, we have to go and get our vision sometimes recorrected. So we have to have some refocusing of our attention on the Lord. That is building an intimate relationship with him and spending less time going through the motions about what we think a Christian should be or how we think a Christian should act. We have to be able to concentrate on his goals, his plans, his desires, his directions for our lives. Maya, the story is told of a small child, not you. I know you 16, you sweet 16, so you ain't small child no more, I know. But you might be one of the few that's looking at me right now, so I'm talking to you. Story is told of a small child who was sitting in church. Now remember, they're sitting in church. The child asked his father, he said, Daddy, what's a Christian? Father replied very proudly, he said, Son, a Christian is a person who loves and obeys God. They love their friends and their neighbors and even their enemies. A Christian prays often. They're kind, they're gentle, and they're holy. And Christians are more interested in going to heaven than all of these earthly riches. He says, Son, that's a Christian. Some of y'all saying amen. I say amen too. But the boy looked puzzled at his father. And he thought for a minute, and then he asked his father, and he says, Well, Daddy, if that's a Christian, then have I ever seen one? If we are going to be authentic light in this dying world, then we must embrace truth and allow it to transform us and not just inform us. I'll say it again. I said that if we're going to be authentic light in this dying world, then we must embrace truth and allow it to transform us and not just inform us, because we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You see, this generation, now I can't talk to her and these young people over here and all these people, this generation is desperately searching for something authentic. They're looking for something true. They're looking for something reliable. They're looking for something trustworthy. People are always watching us. And they're watching us to see if this thing is real for us. But without a transformed heart, we can never be the light that the world around us desperately needs. So the church needs to stop acting and start being. Well, in other words, the Holy Spirit is shouting to each and every one of us, stop acting like a Christian and just be one. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves and each other, we've had to admit that oftentimes we struggle with living each day, all times of the day, as authentic followers of Christ. I mean, truth be told, Sister Fitzgerald, I mean, we don't understand sometimes why we seem to be okay for a few days, a few weeks after hearing an inspirational message, but then we fall back into some old patterns, some old behaviors, some old feelings, some old attitudes, promising wholeheartedly, listen, Lord, I won't shout a custom out again, amen. But this time they went there. Come on, somebody. But I promise I won't do it again. We promise that I won't be rude to people, whether at home, work, or church, or wherever. We promise, we say, Lord, I won't react the next time the way I did this time, but they cut me off in traffic this morning. Come on, somebody. They won't go. This is the fast lane. I mean, what's going on? Uh-oh, I just slipped on that one. But that's the list goes on and on and on. Oftentimes, we find ourselves unable to sustain our resolve, and we fail to control our actions again. And as a result, we feel terrible about ourselves. Seems to be a never-ending cycle, Griffith. The problem is that many people actually give up trying. They give up trying again, or worse still, they give up on God altogether. But that's what happens when people try to live their lives from the outside in instead of from the inside out. The tension between our inner world, our inner being, and the outer world cannot be sustained long term without having some detrimental effect on our lives. Why is that? Because all too often we compartmentalize our life. We divide it into segments. I know I'm telling some truth in here, which is where the confusion begins, Brown. We become actors, if you will, taking on the role of who we think we're supposed to be, watch this, depending on our audience or our circumstance. Lord, help me to stand tall on today. For example, at the church, we're supposed to be a Christian. So guess what? We act like one. Some folk are so good at acting, they could win an Oscar for their performance. They would, as a matter of fact, they would get a standing ovation. And every Sunday is their curtain call. Encore, encore, and here they come again. Around our Christian friends, however, we're supposed to be a Christian, so we Christian dress, we Christian walk, we Christian talk. You know how it is. Good morning. Hello. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got all that. But then at work, at school, we try to act like a Christian because, you know, Monday comes after Sunday, so they assume we've been to church. And they don't know, so you just act like you've been, whether you were or not. Come on, somebody. We get around our friends and our coworkers at school, but here's the deal. We don't have to play the role as strictly at school or work because they are not quite as familiar with the Christian script. But then we get home. We can be our real selves then. Because we believe that our secret is safe at home with the family. So we're home, but watch this, because you're at home and you're just resting. Pick yourself back at home now. Put yourself at home. You're resting, you're relaxed, you got on relaxed clothes. But then the doorbell rings. The doorbell rings, and all of a sudden, listen, I heard somebody chuckling. Isn't it amazing how quickly we can shift from playing the part to playing the part of a perfect life, even if just before our house was more like the perfect storm? Doorbell has rung. Now you got to move the couch to cover the stain on the carpet. We wipe the dust off the TV. We threaten the kids with lifelong grounding if they so much as look or even act the wrong way. And as soon as our guests come in, we are the instant model home and family. Welcome. Sister Karen, truth be told is that a whole lot of people do the same thing with God and church. They can be on their way to church, having a heavyweight battle, arguing with somebody, maybe on the cell phone, or maybe with somebody they're riding with in the car, whether their kids, their spouse, a brother, sister, mother, father. But soon as the moment arrives that they arrive at church, the Spirit of the Most High God comes upon them. They smile at the people coming in the door. They sing, with the same voice that they were just using in anger to cuss somebody out. They worship with the same holy hands raised, the same hand they might have threatened to pop somebody just before they came in. I gave them that signal because I want you to know you cut me off. Come on, somebody. That same hand raised. Come on, somebody. We can play the role of a perfect Christian for just a few hours. We have a nice visit with God, but then we get back into the car and we go back to acting like our real selves again. If you're taking notes, write this down. Many Christians are actors in a drama, not pilgrims on a journey. I said there are a whole lot of Christians who are actors in a drama, not pilgrims on a journey. They try to act like something or someone they're supposed to be instead of living a heart-transformed life. But my brothers and my sisters, we got to know that this is not how God wants us to live. Jesus does not want us to simply act like Christians. He wants us to be authentic Christians. And the only way for this to occur is to allow the Holy Spirit to work on us from the inside out. God wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. He wants to be involved in every part of our lives. Listen, not only when it's convenient, when you're not too busy or too tired, or when it gets too hard after we've acted on our own. Listen, God is not satisfied with visitation rites only for a couple of hours on a Sunday or a prayer meeting on a Wednesday. Come on, somebody. God wants us to be at the core of our lives. He wants to be who we are, wherever we are, with whoever's looking, because just looking the part is not enough. Oh, we can carry our Bibles. Wear our WWJD bracelets, refrain from activities like smoking and drinking and cussing and listening to rap music and going to R-rated movies. Then on top of that, we go to church every Sunday. We sing in the choir. We usher. We serve on the deacon or the trustee board or in some other form of ministry. But the problem is we can look the right way. We can dress the right way. We can even act the right way. But if all of that does not stem from who we really are at the core, then guess what? All this is a performance. If God is not the core of our Christianity, our walk, our talk, our conduct, our attitude, our behavior, our faith, then all we have is a performer. We got churches full of actors and actresses on stage and display. And listen, I don't mean any harm. This is what I was talking about as I walked yesterday. I'm not even saying that acting isn't hard work. Acting is tough work, respectfully. I mean, think about it. A whole lot of actors spend a lot of time trying out for roles. It's called auditioning. Lord, help me to stand tall. And then they have to memorize the lines. They got to practice, and they got to practice the performance. And for some people, hear me when I say this, for some people, they can get so good at performing that they can actually pretend to be someone else. And if you would ever see them on the street, you would actually see them as that person or that character rather than just being an actor playing a role. Here's what I mean. For some of you probably don't know the name Sherman Hemsley. But Sherman Hemsley was that brother. Y'all probably know him if you saw him on the street. See, if I saw Sherman Hemsley on the street, see, somebody just had to tell somebody. But this is about to check right now. If I saw Sherman Hemsley on the street, I wouldn't know that was his name. For years, I didn't know. All I knew him as, George Jefferson. And if I saw Sherman Hemsley on the street, I wouldn't say Sherman. I'd say, George Jefferson. That's George Jefferson right there. Weezy! Because that's what I knew him as. Look at here. Al Pacino. If I saw him on the street, he can be a whole lot of folk, huh? But if I saw Al, I wouldn't say Al Pacino. I would say Tony Montana. Huh? Tony Montana, say hello to my little friends. And that would resonate with him. I don't know Al Pacino. I know Tony Montana. Look at here. Look at here. I know his name is Wesley Snipes, but I don't know Wesley. I know Nino Brown. Nino, CMB, CMB, Nino, huh? I walk Nino, set your $5 down before I make change. That's who I know. Because that's who I always, and folks don't, y'all don't know people's names. See that sister right there in the cream? Joy Daniels is her name. But yesterday she was Tracy Richardson. She was Tracy Richardson, who had been double deceived by her husband, William Richardson, and her good friend, Sheila Johnson. Now, I don't need to get into the whole thing, but let me just say that that sister there, when she was playing a couple scenes, I wasn't sure if that had all been rehearsed or acting. Huh? I mean, some of them scenes, when she went after William, her husband, and her best friend, Sheila, good God almighty, Keeling, I didn't know. I was thinking, Joy, she ain't rehearsed all of that. Some of that was natural. Huh? Matter of fact, I saw a little Cookie Lyons come out. Huh? Look at his snitches. Snitches get stitches. I said, oh, snap. Some of y'all thought I had my head down. I was taking notes. I said, oh. Here's where I'm going with that. Acting in a play or on stage or on a movie screen is one thing. But when it comes to our spirituality and eternal life, we can't act our way to a future home in glory. The Bible says that we are supposed to be transformed in the image of Jesus. Romans 12, 1 and 2, New Living Translation, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Watch this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how God's know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, if you and I don't respond to accept the transformation of grace of God in our lives, then we will be just like the Pharisees that Jesus described in Matthew 23, 27 and 28. He says, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees? He said, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones, sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Listen, Jesus despises hypocrisy. He wants authentic followers. Now, don't get me wrong. Transformation doesn't happen overnight. Something that we got to work at. We got to struggle with it. We got to pray about it. We got to be willing to accept it. Don't be sidetracked looking for a quick fix plan. Be committed to be strengthened in your spiritual core, your spiritual being, so that you can be transformed into the image of Christ. Listen, I don't mean any harm, but I simply want to tell somebody, don't focus on doing Christianity. Focus on being a Christian. True Christianity comes from a heart that's devoted to the Almighty God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loves us, and our willingness to serve the Lord and others. At the heart of real, authentic Christianity should be a desire to do that which God expects us to do, not out of duty, but driven by love for our Savior. As I get ready to close, the key to becoming who we're supposed to be in Christ is we're going to have to spend time in His presence and allow ourselves to be conformed in His image. Just as our physical core is responsible for every move our body makes, so our spiritual core is responsible for every thought, for every emotion, for every reaction, and for every decision. Question: have you ever found yourself acting like a Christian when you knew on the inside it was a different story? I mean, if you truly believe that Jesus, through the person of the Holy Spirit, is within you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can play. Should that change the way you think or act in any area of your life? Is the you that people see at church the same you that people know at home, work, or school? When you think about imitating Jesus, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Do you think about reproducing His actions, or do you consider His motives and His attitude? Listen, based on the way that you are currently living your Christian life today, do you think that becoming Christ-like is actually your primary goal? Hear me. Whatever Jesus did or said, He did or said with compassion. There's some folk that can't hear you because all they feel like is every time you shouting at them, or you're being judgmental, or you're being rude in your words. Jesus loved people, and it was that love that reinforced everything that He said or did. Listen, His words and His deeds were an extension of who He was at His core. He knew who He was. Listen, being Christ-like is not just about external actions, feeding the poor, helping the oppressed. It's also about the condition of our hearts, our spiritual core, and our motivations. We can all do the right things, but if we're not becoming like Christ from the inside out and allowing our actions to be driven from true compassion, then really we're not being Christ-like. We're imitating Christ's behaviors. But God searches the heart. Verse 36 of our text says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" There are people who are struggling day after day after day because they're trying to figure out. They think it's a method. They think it's a formula. They think that it's a quid pro quo. That if I do this, then this or that will happen. You can't do good. First of all, you can't outgive God's giving. And God doesn't need us. We need him. So if we're not becoming Christ from the inside out and allowing our actions to be driven from true compassion, then we're not Christ-like. Listen, teacher, which is the most important commandment? He replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But then he said a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, some folk would say that's a struggle because some folk barely can love themselves. Some folks struggle because they barely feel like that they even want to live because they have very little love for themselves. So how can I love somebody else and I barely love myself? Because you need to understand that the love is not coming from yourself. It's coming from the love of Christ within you. Because even in spite of yourself, Christ loved you. He loves us. And so the loving someone as we love ourselves, the best way we can love ourselves is to turn it over to Jesus. To give our life to Christ. Listen, as I get ready to open the doors of the church, the truth is, we are not actors pretending to be Christians in this drama of life. But listen, this is truth. We are on a very real journey to Christ-likeness. And we cannot perform our way into becoming like him. The Christian journey, it's not about some faraway destination. It's a journey that we work out in the details of our everyday life. Every moment on our pilgrimage is an opportunity to become more like Jesus. The doors of the church are open. As you stand to your feet,
thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.